This morning's public reading comes from John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8. As you turn there, I want to let you know that for me, John chapter 6 and John chapter 8 are two Mount Everests in this gospel. In John chapter 6, Jesus has a conflict. Remember when he told his audience, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life." And they went crazy over that. And then when he was telling people, "No man can come to me unless the Father draws him or unless the Father grants it," implying election and predestination, many of his disciples did an about face and they walked away. And the Bible says they came back. They never came back. Then Jesus turns to the 12 and says, "Are you going to leave me?" Jesus says, "Where can we go? Only you have the words of everlasting life." And John chapter 8. It gets so hot at the very end of the chapter. They were about to murder Christ right then and there. Okay? Chapter 8 is very controversial between Jesus and his hearers. I want to warn you. So I've broken this down into smaller chunks so we can take a journey together, if you're up to it. A journey. We're going to see Jesus make some very blunt statements. And then the reaction of the people. Ready? All we're going to do here this morning is the first 11 verses. John chapter 8. And guess what? I'm in Acts chapter 8. Come on, Robert. Come on, Robert. I got an excuse. I'm 72. Okay, John chapter 8. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. So now he's changed. He's gone from the temple. He's gone east to the Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. Now notice. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. Now remember, many English translations say this story is bogus, but it's found. Okay? They brought a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act." Now, notice their hypocrisy. Where's the guy? Notice, they took her in the very act. So someone must have been watching her. They knew her profession. And they must have had spies waiting for the opportune time because Jesus is in Jerusalem. They must have watched until one of her customers came. And while in the very act, they barged into this house, her home, whatever it was, yanked her, and dragged her to Jesus. Where's the dude? Notice religious people are very hypocritical with their standards. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? They're going to peg Moses against Jesus. They want to put Jesus against the wall or in a corner. This they said, tempting him. Notice, they could care less about Moses. They can care less about the woman. They want to find something in Jesus' teachings to get rid of him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his fingers wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And beloved, there is much controversy. What was he writing? Was he doodling? Was he doing tic-tac-toe with himself? Was he drawing a bunch of stick figures? I'll give you my interpretation. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, Jesus stung them, went out one by one, beginning with the elders, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone in the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Had no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. Something's happened to this woman. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Please be seated, and may God bless his word. Now, when it comes to Bible translations, this particular portion that I just read you, John 8, 1 to 11, is found in the Authorized Version. The reason being, beloved, is the Greek New Testament that the translators way back yonder used. That Greek New Testament that was at their disposal, along with other references, contained the story of the woman caught in adultery. And I shared with you some time ago that nearly 6,000 manuscripts of the Greek New Testament have been discovered over time, up to 6,000. 95 to 98% of them are in total alignment with the Greek New Testament that underlines the King James. The other 2 to 5%, which is about 46 manuscripts out of 6,000, 46 out of 6,000, and out of the 46, only 3, the big boys, when they translate into English since 1881 till now, only use 3 of them. One of them is out of the Church at Rome, the Vaticanus, a Greek New Testament from Rome, and then the one from Sinai, and the one from Alexandria, Egypt. The Vaticanus and the Sinaitic Greek manuscripts do not contain the story of the woman caught in adultery. And the big boys back at the latter part of the 19th century, the book that I gave to you, From Faith to Doubt, Westcott and Hort, they despised the King James in their 20s. I mean, they were young men when they already had this hatred of this version, and they wanted to make a new version that was in more alignment with their understanding of what Jesus was and what he said. That's dangerous. Anyway, those two Greek manuscripts, Sinai and Vaticanus, do not contain the story. Okay? Doesn't. It's simply gone. So that's why in modern translations, this section is either removed or it's in brackets, there's an asterisk, and then normally at the base, there's going to be a footnote telling you older and better manuscripts do not contain this account. Here's the reason why this was removed years ago by some people. You have a teaching called Gnosticism. Gnosticism. The New Age movement is Gnostic. Mormon teaching. The Jehovah's Witnesses teachings is very Gnostic. Gnosticism, there's Jewish Gnosticism and there's Greek and Roman Gnosticism. The word Gnosticism comes from the Greek word kenosis, which means to know. Freemasonry, the Masonic Lodge, is based on Gnosticism. And the bottom line with Gnosticism, one of the teachings in Gnosticism, both Jewish and non-Jewish in 1st, 2nd, 3rd century, was that the body, the flesh, is evil, corrupt. The spark of divinity that's within you and I. To a Gnostic, salvation is not being forgiven of sin. To a Gnostic, salvation is the liberation of the soul and the spirit at death when it leaves our body and this carcass is left behind and thrown into the ground. In this story, Jesus gets front and center with this woman of shame. And according to the Christians, now Christian Gnosticism, that was actually something way back yonder, Christian Gnosticism. They took the position that if Jesus was divine and he stooped to minister to this horrible, nasty woman, he would come in contact with this flesh and bone body of filth, and thus he would contaminate himself. So when the Christian Gnostics came to the Greek text that did contain this, they simply removed it. Because the Gnostic Jesus would not have dealt with trash. See, my Jesus takes trash and he makes gold and silver. My Jesus. Jesus goes into the gutter. That's where he finds me and you. And he adopts us into his family. So let's look at the story. Once again, notice the key players that Jesus loves to rattle their cage. We're told that the people came in verse 2. This is the common folk, the common Joe on the ground, the rank and file, the poor folk, the shopkeeper, the carpenter, the handyman, the wine merchant. But then in verses 3, notice who else enters into this audience, the religious leaders whom Jesus hated. He despised them because of their hypocrisy. They would tell the people, you better do this, but they wouldn't do it. They would go out of their way to foreclose on a widow who couldn't pay her rent or her mortgage payment and throw her out in the street. They come. And notice, they apparently brought the woman caught in the act. And again, notice the hypocrisy. Beloved, religious people are the world's greatest hypocrites. They will judge you for your sins, right? But you better not judge them. They'll throw that Matthew 7:1 on you. Judge not, lest ye be judged. They know how it is to hurl stones and bricks at other people, right? But don't you dare hurl bricks and stones at them. They have their religion. They have their ceremony. They have their little things that they do in order to make God happy. Notice their hypocrisy. Where's the man? The account says she was caught in the very act. Where's the guy? He was allowed to go home, either to his mother or to his wife. They brought her and they shoved her at Jesus' feet. Hey, Jesus, what do you think? Under the law of Moses, now they were correct in what they said. Under the law of Moses, this hunk of dirt ought to be stoned to death. Now that was true. But notice, Jesus knew they came to tempt him. They came to put Jesus in a corner. Because based on what Jesus was about to say or do, what did it say? They wanted to find something to trap him. Something to bring up an accusation to the Sanhedrin to finally get rid of this rabble rouser. Now, what about the writing on the ground? I'll give you my understanding. I heard it from other pastors, and I think it makes pretty good sense. So picture Jesus, all the people surrounding him, all the religious leaders in their garb, their three-piece suits, and their little tag, I'm Pastor So-and-so. All standing there, self-righteous and pious. There's the poor woman in total shame. Maybe she's even naked, half-naked. We don't know. Caught in the act. Maybe they didn't even give her a chance to throw some blanket over her. There she is in utter humiliation. And Jesus stoops down, apparently face-to-face with this piece of trash. And he begins to scribble. And then he gets up and he grabs a rock and he says, whoever out there not guilty of sin, come, cast the first stone. And nobody moved. Gets back down and he goes scribbling. No one knows what he was writing. But this is my personal belief, and you can take it or leave it. Fornication, lying, cheating, stealing, hypocrisy, backstabber, murderer. Get the picture? I think Jesus was writing a laundry list of her accuser's sins. That's my opinion, based on verse 9. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. Jesus was writing something in the sand or in the dirt that was like a sword shoved right in their chest. And it says, the oldest to the youngest walked away, and all that was left was the woman and Jesus. I believe she got saved that day. Why? Remember the two thieves on that day Jesus was nailed? They both railed on Jesus. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross and save us too. But then the thief on the right side told the other thief, hey, shut your mouth. We deserve our punishment. This man is innocent. Listen carefully. What did the thief on the cross say? What did he say? Lord, remember me. My dear sir, today you will be with me in paradise. That man had a revelation on the cross, one of God's elect, the only deathbed conversion in all of Scripture. That man, one of God's elect. Jesus told him, today you will be with me in paradise. He addressed him not as, hey, JC, hey, the man upstairs, Lord. What did she call him in verse 11? Lord. And then Jesus says what? I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. Now, the idea of go and sin no more, you and I both know that even after conversion, Christians do have bad days and they do slip. Many commentators believe what Jesus here was implying, and I would agree. He is telling her, you don't need to go back to being a hooker. Go and sin no more in the sin that brought you to me. That was her profession. That's the only way she made a living, unfortunately. I believe that's the gist of that expression. So when you do take John 8, 1 to 11 out of your Bible, look what you miss. Look at the loving, compassionate, condescending love of Jesus to a woman caught in total shame. Beloved, may I ask you a question? That's where he found you and I. Maybe not in the act of adultery, but Jesus came to us in the day that he saved you and I. He came to us, beloved, when we were no different than this woman on her hands and knees. That's my Jesus. My Jesus comes and he takes something out of the gutter and makes you a child of the King. My Jesus. And so to me, John chapter 8, 1 to 11, is just as much the Word of God as John 3:16. So I teach it as such. Well, may God choose to bless His Word. Amen.